Act or Reality.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to a new episode of your very favorite Back to Reality. Well, this is IRB English Radio. I am Asma, and in here I have two very, very dear guests. Sister Zainab and Sister Bita, please introduce yourself and welcome to the studio.
Assalamu alaikum, I'm Zainab. Thank you for having me. And I am a master's in linguistics and currently studying in Hausa.
So, wish you luck. And you, Sister Bita?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear sisters and dear listeners. I am Bita, and today I have the pleasure to be in the new episode of Today, as always, with my dear Asma and my dear sister Zainab. I'm studying medicine. Yeah, that's it.
So wish you both luck, and it's a great pleasure to have you both in here. So the fruits of modernity are too much that we cannot count them now. If they are poisoned fruits or no, they're healthy fruits, well, there's a big discussion for that. Now, one of these, I guess it is a poisoned fruit, is that people find free relationships more attractive than the one that comes under the title of marriage and family.
You know, marriage is responsibility. Yeah. First, we all know that, you know, when you're going to go through these, I don't know, hard...
And we all agree upon that.
Yeah, exactly. You have to be agree. Yeah, I want to ask you. And you do agree with me, I'm sure, about that. Because it's a huge responsibility that you're going to, make a family, you're going to have children, you're going to raise the children, which is the most difficult part of the story. And all of this will lead you to the point that, okay, there may be some easy ways...
Yeah,
like you know, like some free relationships that we can see even unfortunately.
And use your logic, culture, you know,
cultures, you know, and they may think that okay, we can divide these our emotions, our humanity, our everything from the sexual part of life, you know. But I think there is no division like that, and I'm sure about that. We cannot control the waves of emotions that we come through our body, our mind, and so on.
I do believe
when
that.
When we're in relationship.
But I guess
with
there's a big difference between men and women in looking at these topics.
You know, men are like, maybe, I'm not sure about men because I'm not a man.
Yeah.
But men are like, okay, I don't care. There may be other girls, so I can destroy this one. Next one will be... better, maybe. Yeah. But, you know, girls somehow are more dependent.
Yeah, and they're emotional, you know?
Yeah.
You cannot say, okay, I will let someone into my life and then I would have no attachments to him.
Exactly.
I would not think about him. And it's just a relationship and we're going, no, it wouldn't be like that. Because no matter how strong you are, as in your heart, but after a month, after 3 months, after a year... 10 years, eventually you're going to turn into someone who's so attached to the other person.
And forgetting is so difficult, I think, for girls.
Yeah.
You cannot forget people.
Yeah, yeah. That's very true. So, sister, what about you? What do you think about these free relationships? Why do people go for these free of responsibility sort of relationships just because it's easier?
The answer is in the question itself, because it's easier. Everybody knows the importance of getting married, so that's why they have relationships, because they know there's a need of a partner in our lives. But then why do they go for free or like, I must say...
Okay, it's easier, but what happens to their emotion?
Emotions are...
they're going to get hurt.
Yeah, they're down. You're down. You're done. You're done with everything.
So,
but it's all because of the decision you made yourself. Actually, these kind of relationships, they may be okay, but the lifetime is very short, very very short. In the long run, you're gonna get fed up of everything because. In such kind of relationships, nothing is, you don't have a fruit like a child. You don't have responsibilities and
about your relationship because you are not sure. Maybe in the next month, the other person would go for another girl or another boy.
But let me tell you something. This uncertainty about your relationship is something that some people are searching for it.
Oh my God, is there anyone?
Exactly. Because let me give you an example. Think of, kind of pepper. You know, when you eat pepper, it's going to burn you to some extent, you know.
Yeah.
And after a long time, you don't want to get near to that pepper. But after a long time, you will miss it, you know, and then go for that pepper again to
eat. Another species of pepper.
And, you know, this is exactly what happens to people. They want to have, at the same time, they don't want to give them time, you know. You're going to discuss to that person, you're going to have a relationship, we're going to speak to each other, we're going to have good times, but you want it to be temporary.
Sister Zainab was saying something, and since we're in Back to Reality, we went for a break to get back to reality. So,
yes, as I was saying that in the just such uncertain relationships, number one, you're not mentally fine because you don't know about the future.
Yeah,
and you're not secure.
Yeah,
do you agree with that?
Yeah, and then again, whatever you do is not worship, but in a marriage, when you get married to someone, the first thing that Allah Himself puts into the hearts is love for each other, and the things become very simple. It is difficult. Responsibilities come in, but every your responsibility that you are carrying out according to the guidance that we have from Ahlul Bayt gets that to a fructification. You know, we have in hadith that if a wife gets a glass of water for her husband, it's ibadah. You know, it's her jihad is not in the field, in a battlefield, but her jihad is to actually.
So, but in those kind of relationships,
you
that,
don't care about you don't
entitled.
You don't care about where the person has put his socks. You don't care about how what does he change or not. You don't care about it. But in this married relationship, you are taking care of every small thing, every big thing. And that's love. But in these kind of uncertain relationships, you're always trying to show your fake face to the other person. You don't show your real face.
Yeah.
The other person never knows what is your bad part. But in a married life, you can't show off for a long time.
Yeah, because you're living, certainly because you're living under the same roof.
Yeah.
And then you can show your ugly face there as well.
But, you know, sometimes love doesn't exist in marriage life. You know that. Yeah, sometimes life is not everything. Love is not everything. You know, sometimes there is respect.
In
there
marriage.
There is responsibility. In marriage.
Yeah.
You know, we can see some of the marriage, especially in old ages, that they didn't choose themselves, their husbands and their wives. You know, there were an obligation from the family, society, and
yeah,
so on.
Yeah, but still
on
there was a respect.
Yeah, there
and
was respect.
And it was called marriage. There was a
exactly.
name.
And about the things you told me that love is, I don't know, paying attention to these detailed things, there exist some exceptions in, I don't know, free relationships that we can see that they care about each other.
Yeah. They care
love
about
each other. They just, I don't know, don't want to go through this marriage. What do you think about it?
No, I disagree. See, because when we accept Islam as a complete religion, we go by the guidelines, we go by the obligations. And in Islam, we don't have any such thing. Just be together and don't get married.
Mm-hmm.
I, as a human being, maybe I might be having some limitations to understand the wisdom of Almighty. But he, the creator of me, he sent down the instruction book for me, the Holy Quran, and then for its explanation, the Prophet, peace be upon him, and the Ahlul Bayt. And they say to us that the basic thing, the basic base that is very closer to Allah, that Allah loves, is the foundation of a marriage.
Yeah,
I do agree with that. I think there is a strong relation within this kind of free relationship and the destruction of family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the content of family is being destroyed in our not only in European countries but also in the world.
Yeah.
In a modern world, mm-hmm. we are destroying the meaning of family because, yes, if it is the meaning of life that we're going to have more joy, okay, you can do whatever you want to do. But what about raising children? You know, what about family?
Mm-hmm. So right now, I guess it's a time for us to go for a refreshment and then we'll be back.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
Well, there are some very important key points that you two mentioned in here. The fact that Sister Bita was saying right now, we mentioned at the very beginning of the episode, we talked about diversity. And then we talked about the very fact that, okay, in these sort of relationships, there is some certain sort of love or joy or whatever. And then you said that, okay, anything that is not called marriage, it has got no value in it, right?
That joy is very short.
It's very short. So, and then there's another point as well, which is sexuality. Maybe the youngsters who are, I don't know, over 20 even, I would call them too young to understand the true meaning of life, they would go for these sort of things for a certain feeling of, you know, attraction toward the other gender. You know what I mean? And then there would happen too much of terribles to them, to the point where, as they get in their 30s, they would hate the other genders.
There was this very beautiful scholar. He was saying that if you want to stay away from depression, then don't look at Namahram. Just because you look, you want it.
Yeah.
And since you want it, you know that you won't be able to reach that.
Yeah, you won't have it. And then,
if when you don't reach that, you get into depression.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's better not to look.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, even if you disobey this fact that you shouldn't look at Namahram and just look at them and go through these relationships after a long time, after the vicious cycle of being relationship and free relationships, you will come to depression again. I mean, there is dead end at the both ends. Sometimes I think you have to, I don't know, focus on something else in your
life. So according to you both, if we get into these sort of relationships for whatever reason, whether it be love, which I don't call it love, it's just sort of, a temptation.
Infatuation.
Yeah,
sometimes it's infatuation.
Infatuation,
it
exactly.
Starts with that, yeah.
For whatever reason it would be, at the end of the day, since there is no certainty for the future of this relationship, then there wouldn't be that peace that you will get after marriage.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, so, you know, since I come from a culture where everything, all these things are very, very normal, so I have known the people who were in the relationships, I know the people who went for marriage, I know what kind of depression those who were in the relationships were suffering from and are still suffering from, because they destroyed lives, not just their lives, but the all uncertainty they had, the amount of people that got involved. You get into a relationship with someone, you get married to someone else, and, you know, all that stuff. There's a mess. And I know how peacefully those who actually went straight away for marriage when they felt they are, their hearts are kind of, you know, bending towards each
and
other.
And their lives
and
would get a direction because, you know, there is a name that you have.
You know, Islam is a full religion. Mm-hmm. It has given us, it's not just a set of certain rules. It has programs. It has rules for each and every...
Based on your nature.
Every, you know, each and every aspect of your life.
Yeah.
Even if you're not happy in your marriage.
No, it's a lifestyle.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a lifestyle.
Yeah. So, yeah, we have this set of rules for our entire life.
Yeah, exactly. So, unfortunately, time is flying so fast. And this was all the time that we had for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Until another session, may Allah protect you with His never-sleeping eyes. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again. Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Let the Ummah rise again. Let us see daylight again, once again. Let's become whole again.
a diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
The Last Savior.
Oh, the Savior of mankind, please show us the sign.
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah. To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome. You're listening to the program The Last Savior, and I'm your host, Zainab. Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him and his purified family, said, "The one who does not know the Imam of his time dies the death of an ignorant." But in this program, we try to give all the important details one needs to know about the Imam of his time. And today we have had the pleasure to invite Dr. Kareem in our episode. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you, sir. Dr. Karimi, one of the other things that is considered among the signs of reappearance of Imam is the concept of the murder of Nafs-e Zakiyyah. I want you to give us the basic concept about this. What is this Nafs-e Zakiyyah and the martyrdom of Nafs-e Zakiyyah?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. At the beginning of this series of discussion, I mentioned that the famous idea among the Shia scholars is that there are five definite signs for the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. We have already talked about Yamani, Sufyani, and Al-Khasf al-Bayda, and there are two remaining signs, definite signs, that inshallah we'll talk about. One of them is that a man who is called Nafs-e Zakiyyah, of course we'll talk about who Nafs-e Zakiyyah is, will be killed before the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. And the fifth one is Sayha, a cry from the heaven, which after that we'll discuss about that as well. Now, compared to the narrations regarding Sufyani and the call from heaven, we have less narrations regarding Nafs-e Zakiyyah and him being killed. But the point is that first of all, we have some very authentic narrations about this and about the very fact that Nafs-e Zakiyyah will be killed. And the other point is that the narrations about him are quoted by great Shia scholars like Sheikh Quraini in his Al-Kafi, Sheikh al-Saduq in his Kamal al-Din, Nu'mani in his Al-Ghiba, and also Sheikh al-Tusi in his Al-Ghiba, which means that there cannot be any doubt about the fact that this is one of the signs for the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, and I will mention some narrations which prove that this is among the definite signs for the reappearance of the Imam.
All right.
And another point which makes this discussion very important is that some believe, which are few, of course, at least among the Shia scholars, that the murder of Nafs-e Zakiyyah is a sign that has happened before. We said earlier in one of the previous sessions that some of the signs which are mentioned for the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, especially the indefinite signs, they may have happened in the past, like the elimination of Banu al-Abbas, the fact that the caliphate of Banu al-Abbas comes to its end. So it has happened before.
Yeah.
So some people believe that the murder of Nafsa Zakiya has happened in the past, so we cannot wait for it in the, we shouldn't wait for it in the future.
Yeah.
So this is another dimension which gives the discussion on Nafsa Zakiya another dimension and makes it more important to us.
Yeah.
So we need to, read
the
narrations
and yeah.
to see whether it is related to the past or to the future.
Yeah.
So there are a couple of narrations which talk about the fact that Nafsa Zakiya and his murder is among the signs for the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. Let me share a few of them. For example, Sheikh Kulaini in his Al-Kafi, page 310, hadith number 483, he narrates the following narration from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. He says, خَمْسُ عَلَامَاتٍ قَبْلَ قِيَامِ الْقَائِمِ. There are five signs before the uprising of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. As-Sayha, the call from the heaven. As-Sufyani, the uprising of Sufyani. Al-Khasf, referring to the one of the armies of Sufyani being swallowed up in Bayda. قَتْلُ النَّفْسَ الزَّكِيَّةِ, the murder of Nafsa Zakiya, and Yamani.
Alright.
And in another narration, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, addressing one of his famous companions, Abu Basir, said the following: Ya Aba Muhammad, inna quddama hadha al-amr khamsa alamat. Before this amr, and this amr issue event is referring to the reappearance of the Imam, there are five signs. One of them is an-nida fi shahri Ramadan. One of them is that call from the heaven,
the sky in the month of Ramadan.
This narration, it will happen in the month of Ramadan. Khuruj al-Sufyani, the uprising of Sufyani. Khuruj al-Khurasani, the uprising of Khurasani. Qatlu al-Nafs al-Zakiyya, the murder of Nafs al-Zakiyya. And Khasf in Bayda. The narration is not talking about the definite signs. It's talking about all the signs. Khamsa alamat. It doesn't mention alamat mahtumat, for example.
All right.
That is why it has included Khuruj al-Khurasani as well, which according to the famous idea, is not one of the definite signs.
All right.
This is in Al-Ghiba by Nu'mani, page 302, hadith number 6.
All right. However, one of the common points that exists in these narrations is the murder of Nafsa Zakiya, which
exactly.
we are going to shed more light upon. Let's take a short break and come back. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
I can feel your eyes like the sun shining behind the clouds. I need a morning to shatter this long night forever. This thousand-year-old
Welcome back. You're listening to The Last Savior. We have Dr. Karimi with us in the studio, and we're talking about the murder of Nafsa Zakiya, which is considered as one of the definite signs. And however, Dr. Karimi is shedding light on different narrations. Yes, Dr. Karimi.
After sharing some narrations about the fact that Nafsa Zakiya and his murder is one of the signs of the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, now I would like to share some narrations which prove that he is one of the definite signs for the reappearance
right.
of the Imam, and I mean his murder. I may repeat this point because it's been a long time from the time that we began this discussion. What is the difference between the definite signs and the indefinite signs? The difference is mainly related to the concept of bada, which can be translated as a kind of change. So for some events, bada may happen. I mean, some new things happen and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changes the event. Of course, he already knows about everything. We human beings do not know. So, for example, one very famous example for Bada is that in the Lawh, in the tablet of Al-Mahw al-Ithbat, it's written that you will live for 30 years. Then you do Silatul Rahim, I mean, keeping ties with the
your relatives, you visit them constantly.
Exactly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases your life for another 30 years, for example. So in this case, Bada has happened. In the Lawh, in the tablet of Al-Mahw al-Ithbat, the 30 is replaced by 60. But already in Al-Lawh al-Mahfuz, it is written 60 because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. But we do not know. And even those people who may know the tablet of Al-Mahw al-Ithbat, they may not know the content of the tablet of
Mahfuz. The ultimate thing that's going to happen.
Yeah. So this is what we're talking about. So when it comes to the signs of the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, the question is that, is it possible for Bada to happen? Meaning that the Imam comes without these signs happening.
All right.
So the answer to this question is that, according to the famous idea, Bada is not going to happen regarding the definite signs for the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam.
All right.
But for the indefinite signs, there is the possibility of Bada or change. So they may not happen and Imam Mahdi alayhi salam reappears.
And that's why we call them as indefinite signs.
Exactly. And that this is showing the significance of this discussion to, I mean, recognize which signs are definite ones. Because without them, the Imam is not going to reappear. And that is why we see that this emphasis is put by the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt. The companions of the Imam also knew about the importance of this topic. And in some narrations, they asked the Imam whether this sign is from the definite signs or from the indefinite signs. The Imams of the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam have shown the definite signs by different terms. For example, mahtum, which means that this is definite. Or la budda ay yakun, this should take place. La yakhruju hatta, Imam will not reappear until such and such happen.
All right.
So these are different terms and words used by Imams of the Ahlul Bayt to show that this is among the definite signs. When it comes to Nafs al-Zakiyya and his murder, there are some narrations according to which his murder is one of the definite signs for the reappearance of the Imam.
All right, Dr. Karami, we will continue the discussion after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned. Welcome back. You're listening to The Last Savior. We have Dr. Karimi with us. Dr. Karimi is shedding light on the concept of murder of Nafs-e-Zakiyya, which is considered as one of the definite signs of reappearance of Imam. And Dr. Karimi is shedding light on the concept in the light of narrations. Yes, Dr. Karimi.
So there are a couple of narrations in this regard. I would like to share a few of them. Abu Hamza Thumali asks Imam Sadiq alayhi salam that إن أبا جعفر عليه السلام كان يقول إن خروج السفياني من المحتوم. Your father, Imam Baqir عليه السلام, used to say that the uprising of Sufyani is among the definite signs. As I mentioned, the companions of the Imam, they were familiar with these terms, محتوم.
Yeah.
The Imam said, نعم, yes, this is one of the definite signs. And then the Imam mentions other definite signs, including قتل النفس الزكية من المحتوم.
All right.
The murder of نفس الزكية is one of the definite signs. Kamaluddin, page 652, hadith number 14. In another narration, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is asked whether Sufyani is one of the definite signs. The Imam says, نعم, yes. And there are other definite signs, قتل النفس الزكية من المحتوم. The murder of Nafs al-Zakiyya is one of the definite signs. Khasf al-Bayda min al-Mahtum, that we discussed before. The khasf, the swelling up in
the land of Bayda,
is one of the definite signs. Wal nida min al-Sama, and also that call from the sky. In another narration, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, min al-Mahtum al-Ladhi la budda an yakuna min qabl qiyam al-Qa'im, the following. The Imam uses different words to show that these are among the definite signs, and they should happen. من المحتوم, they are definite. لا بد أن يكون, they should happen before the reappearance and uprising of the Imam. the Imam mentions Khuruj al-Sufyani, uprising of Sufyani, Khasf al-Bayda, the murder of Nafs al-Zakiyya, and the call from the heaven, Al-Ghaybah by Nu'mani, page 272. And the last narration that I would like to share in this regard is from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam again, as mentioned by Nu'mani in his Al-Ghaybah, page 272, hadith number 26. Among the definite signs mentioned for the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, which should happen before his reappearance, are the following, and one of them is Qatl al-Nafs al-Zakiyya, the all murder right. of Nafs al-Zakiyya. So all these narrations give
are
the
wrapping
message
to the one point.
Exactly. Nafs al-Zakiyya is one of the definite signs.
Thank you, Dr. Karimi, for being with us.
My
Thank
pleasure.
You so much, dear listeners, for being with us. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Where is the rising sun? Where is the spring of hope? Where is the shining moon? Where is the firmest rose? Please, oh please, please come. Please, oh, 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 please come. Please come.
The limelight.
In the United States, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation is preparing to put First Republic Bank under supervision. The California-based bank appears to be the third such financial institution to fail this year. We have taken a look at some of the world media and press's coverage of this issue. Please stay with us. The British newspaper The Independent has covered this story and tells us more. US regulators were recently battling to save ailing mid-sized lender First Republic Bank in what would be the country's third bank rescue in the past 2 months. The US Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, FDIC, was said to be courting bids from several institutions for First Republic, which was founded in San Francisco, California, almost 40 years ago, and is now the country's 14th largest bank. Shares in the First Republic Bank plunged by more than 75% in recent days, after the bank admitted it had seen unprecedented deposit outflows in March following the collapse of similar-sized lenders Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank. According to Bloomberg and Reuters news agencies, the FDIC, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, had asked lenders, including JP Morgan Chase and Bank of America, to step in and make a bid for the bank, and was said to be keen on winding up an auction over the weekend. JP Morgan Chase and Bank of America were among a group of lenders, including Citigroup, Goldman Sachs, and Morgan Stanley, that stepped in recently to shore up First Republic with $30 billion of deposits. The global banking industry has faced a rocky couple of months as markets wake up to the side effects of central bank rate hikes. In March, higher interest rates and a technology sector slowdown combined to cause a run on California-based Silicon Valley Bank, which had invested heavily in U.S. treasuries and had to sell them at a loss to meet the cash demands of its mainly technology industry depositors. Just 2 days later, the New York-based Signature Bank faced a similar deposit outflow and was taken over by another lender. The Zurich-headquartered Credit Suisse was the first European casualty of the US banking rout and was taken over by rival UBS in a Swiss government-backed deal a week after that. Irish and European bank stocks faced a whirlwind month recently, as markets digested the fallout from the collapse amid worries about other lenders that could be exposed to interest rate hikes. The U.S. Federal Reserve is set to raise interest rates by a quarter of a percentage point in the coming days, while the European Central Bank, the ECB, is mulling over a similar-sized increase, which would mark a shift down from the six larger moves it has made since last July. The British newspaper The Guardian has also covered this story and tells us more. US regulators are racing to secure the sale of California bank First Republic, which is on course to become the third American lender to fail this year, a sequence of collapses that has drawn uncomfortable parallels with the 2008 global financial crisis. According to reports in recent days, half a dozen US banks are in the running to take over the stricken First Republic Bank, with leading bidders including JP Morgan Chase, Citizens Financial, and PNC Financial Services. The Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, based in Washington, D.C., is running the auction process and has set a deadline for potential buyers to submit non-binding offers. According to reports, suitors were, on Sunday, 30th of April, weighing up which of First Republic's assets they want to buy before making final bids, raising hopes that a deal could be sealed, averting market instability when Asian markets open. On Friday, 28th of April, trading in First Republic shares was briefly halted after its share price plunged close to 50%, the second such fall in a week. Its market value touched a low of $557 million, down from its peak of $4 billion in November of 2021. Just days earlier, the bank revealed it had lost $100 billion in deposits during recent banking crisis, as depositors responded to the collapse of Signature Bank and Silicon Valley Bank by pulling their cash from weaker lenders. Although the rate of withdrawals has slowed at many banks, First Republic, which specialized in high-net-worth individuals, appears to be in peril, despite receiving a $30 billion infusion of deposits from major Wall Street banks in March. With time running out to secure a private sale, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation invited some of the largest American banks to submit bids to rescue First Republic Bank, which is based in San Francisco, California. JP Morgan Chase already holds more than 10% of all U.S. bank deposits and would need a special government waiver to add more. Eugene Flood, managing partner and board chairman of A Capella Partners, who serves as an independent director at First Citizens Bank Shares, and Janus Henderson, said, "For a large bank to buy all or most of the bank could be healthier for First Republic customers because it could put them on a broader and more stable platform." He was speaking in a personal capacity. First Citizens agreed to buy the failed Silicon Valley Bank last month. On Friday, it was thought that the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation was preparing to place First Republic under receivership before securing depositors' funds. Without an agreed bid, receivership is thought to still be an option. The website of Flipboard.com has also covered this story and tells us more. The U.S. Federal Reserve has admitted in a report that it was slow to consider the strain on the banks from a sharp increase in interest rates, which has lowered the value of their financial assets even though it has increased their profitability. The mismatch has caused panic and a flight of funds to safe haven financial institutions. Officials at the U.S. Central Bank, the Federal Reserve, have also blamed reforms during the presidency of Donald Trump, which had the effect of watering down the oversight of mid-sized banks such as Silicon Valley Bank and First Republic Bank. Michael Barr, the Federal Reserve's vice chair for supervision, who led the review, said the U.S. central bank needed to toughen its rules after the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank. Michael Barr said Federal Reserve supervisors failed to take forceful enough action, highlighting regulatory standards that were too low, a system of supervision that lacked urgency, and risks to the wider banking system resulting from the light regulation of mid-sized banks. Michael Barr said, following Silicon Valley Bank's failure, we must strengthen the Federal Reserve supervision and regulation. Jamie Dimon, the boss of J.P. Morgan Chase, has played down the risk of a spiraling banking crisis in the United States. Dimon claimed conditions were nothing like 2008 and 2009 for a lot of different reasons. However, he conceded that if U.S. economy went into recession and high interest rates persisted, that could lead to other cracks in the banking system. Under the terms of the First Republic deal, J.P. Morgan Chase will acquire all of the California-based bank's deposits and substantially all of the assets, winning out over as many as five rivals reportedly in the running. Jamie Dimon, the boss of J.P. Morgan Chase, said, "Our government invited us and others to step up, and we did. This acquisition modestly benefits our company overall. It is accretive to shareholders. It helps further advance our wealth strategy, and it is complementary to our existing franchise."
This is A to Z. An introduction to an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, how to get rid of feeling of despair. In the name of God, the most gracious, the most merciful, may his peace and blessings be upon Muhammad and his pure, immaculate Ahlul Bayt. Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. You are listening to A to Z on IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. We start our session today with a question. A person has asked, "I am a young man. I've been involved in a great scene, feeling scene on the one hand, and my weak determination before my loss on the other hand have made me desperate of the forgiveness of Allah, and I feel that I will definitely be in hell. At the same time, I fear that I'm not right in this opinion, thankfully. Would you please guide me to the right solution?" It's a very important question, and it can be a very common question among the youths, and also the answer would be helpful, inshallah. In answer, the very first step that we should have it in our mind is to confess our sin before Allah. We have to confess. This is the first step of repentance. Confessing is the first step of repentance. So we're going to confess our sin before Allah and pray to him to help us with a real repentance. We do not need to ask for forgiveness with a difficult language. Speak easily and spontaneously and say what is inside us in any way you can, because Allah knows what is in our heart even before it come to our tongue. So this is the very first step of repentance, confessing, because confessing, when you confess, you accept by your heart that you have done something wrong, and when you confess that you have something wrong, it gains the forgiveness of Allah. Welcome back, dear brothers and sisters. You're listening to A to Z on IRIB English Radio. Okay, in the previous part, we talked about the first step of repentance, and that was confessing our sin before Allah and pray Him, not with a very difficult language. But the second step is something that we have bear in our mind and know well, that despairing of the forgiveness of Allah is a sin even greater than the sin we are originally involved in. Because despair opens the door wider before us to commit all sins, and it is this that will get us into the hell, not our first sin. It's very important. Despair is the key of opening the hellfire towards ourselves. Therefore, Islam has considered despairing of Allah's mercy as the greatest of sins. It is that Satan, the first enemy of man, wants for us on the day of judgment. So, as a young man, if you're looking for a true repentance, we should fill our heart with a big hope of getting the forgiveness of Allah and try determinedly not to commit the sin again. When we commit a sin, we should hasten immediately to Allah and ask Him to forgive us. We should never cut our relation with Allah in any case. If we go to east or west, we shall not find a God like our Lord, like our Allah, whom we disobey, but He, all the able to punish us at once, grants us a respite and says that He loves those who ask Him for forgiveness, loves the repentant, and loves to purify themselves, besides the loves to reward us with His paradise if we turn to Him sincerely. And I hope everyone in life full of hope and without feeling of despair.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Radio, a window to peace of mind and spirituality. You can tune in to IRIB English Radio 24 hours a day. We are with you. Are you with us? Are you with us? Are you with us? This is our voice from the heart of the Islamic Republic of Iran, IRIB English Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common. This is a part of a speech delivered by the leader of the Islamic Revolution in a meeting with a number of poets and experts in Persian literature in the Imam Khomeini Hosseiniyah on Wednesday, April 5, 2023. The meeting took place on the eve of the auspicious birth anniversary of Imam Hassan alayhi salam. Poets, artists, novelists, cinematographers, architects, and those involved in various cultural fields should know that we are currently facing this plundering and onslaught of the enemy. They should pay attention to this. They need to understand what is happening, and they must also show what's happening to other people. They need to raise awareness about this, and they shouldn't be passive. Fortunately, we have a number of good poets today who are pious, kind-hearted, and believers in the religion and the revolution. Well, you are all examples of this. Fortunately, one of the good things that has been done by various organizations, those that are active in the field of art and also other organizations, is that they have helped to expand this kind of work throughout the country. Today, the opportunity exists for poets from all over the country, even those from villages and small towns, to introduce themselves and to go to centers where they can present their poetry.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
Poets naturally are emotional, flexible, emphatic people. They should refrain from becoming emotional. They shouldn't get emotional when facing issues. They need to think and correctly identify the issue at hand. And they should feel a sense of duty toward what is before them. They need to fulfill this duty with their art. If they fail to do this, you cannot place any value on their art, no matter how talented they are. He said, "You are fine wine, but if do not leave the cask to enter the wine glass, what is the point?" This is a poem by Sa'ib Tabrizi. As one of the gentlemen here said, you need to enter the glass in order to bring happiness. God willing, may God grant us grand success to all of you and give us all the success of being able to use our countries and our system's valuable, irrepressible resources, including art and poetry. God willing, may you all be successful. I would like to thank all of you again, including Mr. Amir Isfandaqe and Mr. Qazve, because of their presentations. Even though they did not recite any poems themselves, God willing, we will hear their poetry in the future as well. May God's greetings and mercy be upon you.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done.
Of Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Poreza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Alemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the world with reporters.
It was his sixth hunger strike and the longest, which lasted for 87 consecutive days. Palestinian prisoner Sheikh Khadr Adnan stubbornly resisted until his last breath, asking for his release he always obtained after every hunger strike against his illegal administrative detention by the Israeli authorities. This time, however, his hunger strike ended with his martyrdom in a cold cell in the Israeli prison of Ramli at dawn on Tuesday. Here in his hometown, Arabi, near the occupied Jenin, his wife spoke to the crowd who gathered outside their home to consolidate the family and his 9 children. They called for his revenge and also for all Palestinian prisoners languishing in Israeli jails.
I congratulate myself and my children for the martyrdom of Sheikh Khader. Now, after his death and all the sacrifices he made, we do not want a drop of his blood to be spilled. We will not wait for anyone to avenge my husband. His 9 children will keep his cause alive. And to the Israeli occupation, I say, remember the faces of my children well. By God, we have raised them with pride and dignity.
A general strike has been announced across the occupied West Bank in mourning for Sheikh Khader Adnan. Protests have been held in several areas, including Ramallah. Palestinian resistance groups have mourned what they described as the execution of the senior leader of the Islamic Jihad resistance movement, Khader Adnan. They say they hold the Israeli occupying regime fully responsible for Adnan's murder. Since 2004, Adnan had gone on 6 hunger strikes, drawing local and international attention. Not only did he become a spokesperson for the Islamic Jihad, but also a symbol for the cause of Palestinian prisoners.
The Israeli regime has sent a clear message to the whole world that we will continue killing Palestinians even after their imprisonment. Today, Sheikh Khader Adnan has set a new level full of pride in the history of Palestinian prisoner movement. After his assassination, the Palestinian people are facing a new stage of struggle. Today, we all must unite and stand against the practices of the Israeli regime for the sake of our prisoners.
All Palestine is sad for the martyrdom of the hero prisoner Sheikh Khader Adnan. It was not his first hunger strike. Every time he was courageously declaring a hunger strike to reject the illegal administrative detention that the occupation's regime uses to keep thousands of our people behind bars. Unfortunately, this time his strike came to an end with his martyrdom.
Meanwhile, several protests have been held in the occupied Ramallah in response to the Israeli murder of Sheikh Khader Adnan. The demonstrations turned violent in a number of areas, namely the cities of Arram, Al-Khalil, and Ramallah, with clashes erupting between Israeli soldiers and Palestinian protesters. Israeli forces fired at the crowds and a number of Palestinians were wounded. The day of rage will always be remembered as a day of honor and loyalty to Sheikh Khader Adnan, who is considered by many here as a national hero. Every time Sheikh Khader Adnan engaged in a hunger strike, he insisted that he will not end his action without achieving victory. His definition of victory was either getting released or being martyred. This time he achieved victory by martyrdom. Palestinians also believe he was an iconic figure who succeeded in bringing another defeat to the Israeli regime. Mona Qandil, Occupy Ramallah.
Against the backdrop of that all-familiar soundtrack and amid heavy police presence, pro-Palestinian protesters outside the Leicester branch of the notorious Israeli arms maker Elbit Systems. A short walk into the woods from the demo, members of the Palestine Action Group, donning the iconic Palestinian keffiyeh with one purpose in mind.
I'd like to see Elbit out of the UK. I'd like to see Elbit shut down once and for all in the whole world. But obviously, you know, where we are and what we can do is get Elbit out of the UK. And ultimately, that's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see Elbit Systems completely gone from UK soil.
Beyond the steel fence and barbed wire, Elbit's UAV Tactical Systems manufactures drones on UK soil. Drones allegedly tested on the captive population of Gaza.
And I was there in Gaza for 2 years. I saw what those weapons do, and they are knowingly making them, selling them. In fact, they are even marketing them based on how much horror they have committed across Palestine and still ongoing.
Members of Palestine Action and other Palestinian supporters have come here today saying they're having to take direct action against Elbit Systems because lobbying the British government through normal channels is futile. And they're calling on people around the world to join their campaign to put an end to Israel's international arms trade.
Elbit, Israel's largest weapons maker, used to host 10 sites across Britain. 18 months of protests and blockades by Palestine Action forced its site in Oldham, Greater Manchester,